The plague of mankind is the fear and rejection of diversity. Monotheism, monarchy, monogamy, and in our age, monomedicine. The belief that there is only one right way to live, only one right way to regulate religious, political, sexual, and medical affairs is the root cause of the greatest threat to man. Members of his own species bent on ensuring his salvation, security, and sanity. And that quote comes from Thomas Szasz. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Diversity is extremely important, folks. Diversity is what makes mankind what they are. Were it not for diversity, we would be little more than a race of automatons. Through diversity comes our uniqueness, our unique thought patterns that each person has, our unique way of perception, and the unique perspective that we each hold. This is what makes creativity possible within our species. This is what makes invention possible. This is what makes it possible for two minds to be better than one. Because we don't all think the same way. We don't all act the same way. We don't all sleep the same way. We don't do anything really the same way. Not as far as our thought processes go. And it is this diversity that needs to be nurtured. And yet everything we see about our society, our religious beliefs, our social beliefs, our economic beliefs, all of the things that are imposed upon our consciousness are all designed to homogenize human consciousness and make everything the same. And yet mankind itself is diversity in motion. And so what we end up with through this homogenization process is a huge suppression in consciousness and a huge suppression in creativity. We end up all following the same perspective on many issues. It's an attempt to get mankind to all think the same way and all focus on the same issues from the same perspective, to all follow the one version of what reality is, to all follow the one version of what God is, to all follow the one version of everything, folks. I mean, that's what the education system is about too, folks. It's about the indoctrination and homogenization of society so that everybody thinks within the same parameters. And this also limits creativity. And the God issue is a very interesting thing, folks, the homogenized version of God. But that's really the beauty of God, isn't it? Because God is what you perceive God to be. It's a personal thing. It doesn't matter what it says in any book. That's just someone else's perspective that they're forcing on you, and you need to think this way because this is what God is because it says so in this book. But that's just being enslaved to the written word. That just takes the creativity away from you. It takes the direct connection to source away from you and places it into the mechanism of what's in the book. But, as I said, the book is simply someone else's perspective. That's all it is. And it's the same with everything. It's all perspective. That's why I don't think monotheism works at all, folks, because it's just somebody else's perspective of what God is, and it removes your connection to God from you. I believe God is source. I believe God is the intelligence of the universe itself. I don't think it's any type of physical deity that sits in judgment. I think that it's all part of us, and we do that ourselves. And you think about it, folks, what is heaven and hell? And of course, really, I mean, it's anybody's guess, but what if you have been good to people in your life? When you reconnect to source at your death and you become one with the energy field again, you will feel all of the goodness and all the wonderful things that you did for people. You will feel all the pleasure that you brought to them, and that will indeed be heaven. But if you have been cruel and unkind and hurt people along the way, then you will also feel that, and you will indeed be in hell, because you will feel all the damage that you did to consciousness by your actions in that period. I mean, they say that when you go to judgment day, whatever that is, you are judged by your actions and you are judged by your peers and by forces that are higher above you. And what if that were true because you are your peers and you are the divine forces above you you are connected to everything. And so, of course, by being judged by your peers, you will, in fact, be in judgment of yourself, in Lakesh. Well, I believe heaven and hell, it's all a matter of perspective, folks. It's what you do at the time that's given to you now that makes the difference. And as I've often said, folks, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you do from this point forward, because ultimately we've all been placed within this system, which is essentially psychopathic, and we've been told to make it work. But, of course, a sane individual cannot make it work. It's impossible to make this system work in any real way, because the system itself is it's a fiction, it's a simulation, it's a matrix, it's not real. It doesn't support human life, it doesn't support the planet, it doesn't support the nurturing and evolution of human consciousness. It doesn't support anything except a fictional economic model, which is designed to exploit everyone and everything on the planet. And so it doesn't matter what you did, it matters what you do. And that's the important thing, folks. It's what you do at the time that you've got. I mean, you can't judge yourself for what you did when you were still asleep. And you can't judge anybody for what they are doing while they are asleep and are locked within the matrix, because the matrix itself is designed to do that to people. It's designed to program people to behave in a certain way. And so it's not really about waking these people up. It's about leading by example in what you do and leaving a legacy behind through your actions. Because there's only a few people that are really running this system. There may be a big convoluted system that's holding itself together. There's a lot of glue there out there in the mechanism. But it's only really run by a few people. And the direction that it's going in can be changed by relatively few people. People who are astute, people who are willing to speak out, people who are willing to face the system head on and not be scared of it, to realize that it's only a fiction. And if they are honest and they always act in integrity with what they do and what they say, then we can bring about some change. So don't be in fear of the system, and don't really feel that you need to wake too many people up. You just need to lead by example, because when you do that, they wake up on their own. You just plant seeds with people. You just drop little hints and you lead by example in what you do. This is what is causing the biggest awakenings on the planet. It's not about screaming fear at people. It's just about showing them that there's better ways of doing things. I do what I do because I'm simply called to do this. It's what my path is. And I don't do these shows because I wish to wake people up. I do them because I wish to empower people with the knowledge of themselves and the knowledge of the power that they hold within themselves. As I've often said on this show, I believe every generation to be the custodians of life on this planet, the custodians of freedom on this planet. I believe that we are here to leave a legacy behind for those who come after. And that's why it's important that we pay attention. I don't wish to particularly wake people up to the fact that the world is corrupt. What I wish to do is to provide them with the tools they need to be able to stand against the system when it comes for them. Because if it isn't stopped, it will come for them. It will come for everybody who isn't part of the system. And then once it's come for all those people, it will start coming for those who are also part of the system. And it will continue to discard as many people as it can on the lower rungs of the system until it has the exact amount it needs to survive. And as the system becomes more and more efficient, we will see more and more people discarded. But I speak out, folks, as I said, not to wake people up. I simply do it because it needs to be done. Because when I look at the state of the world, when I see the enormous danger that we as a species face at the hands of things such as genetically modified organisms, the biological manipulation of the human species and all life on the planet that we're seeing before our eyes today, when I see the crimes of companies such as Monsanto, the damage that they've done to the environment, when I see the way nature has been forced to fit within the parameters of a corporate industrial model rather than shaping the model to fit nature. And when I see how all this is being done due to the actions of our government, because they're the ones who are enacting all the legislation and they're the ones who are putting all the rules in place which are allowing these corporations to do what they're doing. When I see all this, folks, then I feel it is my duty to speak out, and it is the duty of every person, every conscientious person, to speak out. And as I said, folks, I don't speak out because I want people to wake up. I speak out because I want the world to have a future. I want my species to have a future. I want my son, my grandchildren, to have a future. And I believe that were I to simply ignore all the things I see around me, and to spend my time during this life on focusing on the collection of trinkets and useless possessions that really don't mean anything, then it would be a waste of a life. And I feel that I would be somewhat negligent in my duty of care to the planet, my duty of care to life, my duty of care to my son, my duty of care to all who come after me, my duty of care to all who ever have my actions or words influence them in any way at all. We all have a duty of care, folks. We have a duty of care to leave the world better than the way we found it. We have a duty of care to those who come after. And it is really beautiful to see all the people that are speaking out about things now, folks. It's really good to see the alternate media that has developed on the internet simply because of the need to have a reliable media, because we don't have one anymore. We certainly don't have one from the mainstream. And the alternate media and the internet has made it possible for things such as the exposing of information that we've just seen by Edward Snowden. And hopefully something comes from this, folks, because it's such a good opportunity. It really is. I mean, when you look at the data collecting that these people have been doing, this is a gross breach of trust. And it's everything that the alternate research community has been saying for years and years, and now it's there in the mainstream. And we really should see, like, a presidential challenge. We should see the whole administration be challenged for this, because this is like Watergate on steroids. And it's now there for all to see, and I really hope that people do pay attention to this and that people really do step up to the plate and realize that we can't allow the world to continue the way it is. We can't allow it to be run by criminals. And anybody who's out there saying, look, they're doing this because of national security, it's not national security, folks. America only needs all the national security it's got because of what it's done to countries around the world under the guise of bringing them peace and democracy. Nothing it's done has been to bring them peace and democracy. Now, America has basically been an administration that's been puppeteered by European bankers for a very, very long time, and it's been used to create an enormous amount of conflict around the world and to enslave everybody to this corrupt European-based economic model that the whole world is currently subject to. And it's worked very hard through the manipulation of history and via television and all sorts of mechanisms to instill a culture of fear and paranoia into American society, so that the general society of the United States feels very paranoid. They feel like the world is out to get them, because they're trained to feel this way, because this then justifies the huge military machine that is the United States. And it's very unfortunate to see what it's become, but it's also important to recognize how it's become that way, and it's not the fault of the American people. It's the fault of the system. It's the fault of the European banking cartels that run the government and that run the entire Western system. And it's important that people pay attention to it, because it's this economic model, this commerce-based reality that's been superimposed over everybody's lives that is the cause of all of the hardship that we face, really. I mean, this is the glue that holds it all together, this ridiculous commercial-based system that we all believe is real. But the world's waking up to it. I mean, look what just happened in Greece recently. Look what's happening in Turkey right now. Look what's happening all around the world, folks. All the people who are standing up against their governments, it's because of this commercial economic system, this commerce-based reality that everybody's had inflicted upon them. And it's basically slavery, folks. It's human trafficking. It's people farming. That's what this system is, whereby it reduces every aspect of everybody's lives to commerce. And that's what the whole GMO thing is about as well. They create GMO food, which makes you sick because the GMO companies are all related to the big pharma companies. It's all one big happy family. And the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to be well. They want you to be sick. So they feed you GMO food that makes you sick so they can sell you the drugs that they want. It's all commerce, folks. It's all people farming. It's human trafficking. That's what they've done to the human experience. They've created an industrial model to control humanity. And now they are reshaping humanity to fit within this industrial model, the same as they've been doing with nature. And it's simply not acceptable. And the only way they're getting away with doing it is because we believe that the rules these people write on pieces of paper are real. But they're not. They're just fiction. And these guys are just public trustees that we actually employ to do the opposite of what they're doing, because all they're doing is stealing from us. That's what's going on, folks. And that's why I speak out about this. Because like I said, I want my son to have a future. I want the world to have a future. And when I can see this control mechanism and this system of slavery being put in place blanket across this planet, then I feel it is my duty to speak out. And I challenge any politician to debate me on any of these issues. I've done so a myriad of times on these shows. And I do get quite irate on these shows, folks. Of course I do. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I have no problem calling these people psychopaths, because they are. And folks, I get as tired of the battle as anybody, and I get as angry as anybody. I try to maintain a calm demeanor on the radio shows, but I do get quite angry about the situation that we're facing. I do get quite angry at the actions of our psychopathic leaders. Of course I do. I'm human. I mean, if I wasn't angry, I wouldn't be doing these radio shows, folks. That's just the way I channel the anger. Well, the way I attempt to channel the anger. I always attempt to channel the anger into positive action. Of course, sometimes it doesn't work. And I do also sometimes jump down people's throats on the threads, and I'm sorry about that. I do sometimes get a little bit irate, because the world is heading in a bad direction, and I'm so tired of seeing people not take responsibility for themselves. It really does frustrate me sometimes, folks, that people will not stand up and take the matter in hand. They will sit there and they'll argue about it. They'll argue about how we got here. They'll attack each other online, and they'll spend so much energy and effort in hiding behind their computer and attacking you online and baiting you until you respond so they can point out to people that you're human. And it just frustrates me that they won't put the same amount of effort into making the world a better place and addressing the problems that we face, addressing the corrupt leadership that we all have on this planet. In every single country, we have corrupt leadership. I mean, there might be some exceptions. There's probably some exceptions in politicians who are actually trying to make a difference. But I would suggest that these are very few and far between, folks, and very, very rare cases. Most politicians are not trying to make a difference. Most politicians are trying to get to the top of the pile. Most politicians want to be politicians in order to get to the top of the pile because they're sociopaths. That's the problem. Our problem is we believe the system is real. We believe the political system is real. We don't see it for what it should be. There shouldn't be any politics involved in administration of a country. Politics is debating. It's rubbing shoulders and greasing palms, and it's corrupt from its very structure to its very core. It's a corrupt system. And even if you're a good person who enters into this system, you end up corrupted by the system because you can't operate to the fullest of your capacities because you're forced to operate within the parameters of an inherently corrupt system. So how do you work within that system? So I say throw it all away. There shouldn't be any politics involved in administration. It was interesting seeing the recent elections in Iran. Very, very little advertising in Iran, because people know that if there is massive amounts of advertising, then the people are being backed by corporations, and that when they get to power, they are going to be supporting the corporations and not the people. And so they know that if they have massive amounts of advertising, there's a lot of corruption and the people won't vote for them. Very different to the Western and American systems, folks, where the more advertising and the more corporate backing, the more people vote for them, when obviously they're bought and sold by the corporations before they get in. And so I thought that was an interesting dynamic to see as well. Not that I'm supporting the Iranian system, but I just think it's interesting that the people would think that way. At least they can see that if there's a lot of money involved with that party, then there's a lot of corporate backing, and therefore they're not the people to vote for. And I wonder what it is in Western mentality that prevents Western people from thinking that way and seeing the obvious for what it is as well. Perhaps it's just the glitz and glamour of the television that they're used to. I don't know, but it's interesting that we don't particularly think that way in the West. We always go for the one that looks the brightest and the biggest and the one that has more pizzazz and has more flashy fireworks. And it's just interesting, isn't it? But with all of it, folks, the one thing I really do have to say is that it's refreshing to see the amount of awakening that's happening. Even among the mainstream, or those who still listen to the mainstream and swim within the parameters of the mainstream, even these people are starting to see that all is not well. This disclosing of the data collecting practices of the NSA has really shown people that the government is absolutely corrupt. Of course, it's still very difficult here in Australia. Australians still think that they have it pretty well sweet here, you know, that there is no real problem in Australia, when Australia is actually one of the most controlled countries on earth. But we're getting there. I mean, if you look at things on a global stage, we are getting there globally. Mankind is just starting to twitch the eyelids a little bit and begin to wake up from the dream that we've been living in. And I think it's only going to get more and more obvious as more and more countries come online. And really that's what's happening, folks, is that people are coming online, that people are waking up to the fact that their trustees are in breach of trust. That's what's causing the turmoil in Greece and in Turkey. That's what caused the turmoil in Iceland, and look what they were able to achieve. So it is happening, folks. It's happening on a global scale. It's just a little bit slower in some countries. One really has to wonder where America is headed, though, folks, with the latest revelations. And there certainly is an air of revolution in the country from what I've been hearing from people. I really do hope that America doesn't go down the path of violent revolution. I think there are other ways to do things. As we've seen overseas in Turkey, in Greece, in other places, violent revolution is not the way. It doesn't matter if you've got guns and automatic weapons or what you've got, because I can guarantee you that whatever you do have, the government has something far better. And there are still a great many people within the American police force and within the American military who are quite brainwashed and indoctrinated into the system, who will stand up and defend corporate corruption and will do the wrong thing by their people. So I really hope that it doesn't go down that path. Though, of course, there does seem to be every push for it to do so. Even you've got to question the revelations of Edward Snowden, whether this is a push for revolution as well, because it is such a huge release of information. And like I said, it's like Watergate on steroids. I mean, they dismissed Nixon for doing this to one hotel. And here we have the NSA have done it to not only the entire country, but to the entire world. And so this is something that affects everybody on the planet. And it really has caused a stir with people. And you've got to wonder whether this is a push for global revolution as well. Because there is nothing that the powers that believe they be want more than global revolution, folks, because violent confrontation grants them the opportunity that they've been searching for to flex their muscles and to use the advanced weaponry that they've been developing against their own citizens. And as I said, they still have the numbers within the police and military to be able to pull this off if they do it soon, if they do it before too many more people wake up. So I think it's more important for us to keep going down the path of gradualism the way we are and seeing people awaken around us more and more so that we do have that strength of numbers, because violent revolution now will simply lock the world down. Well, that's my belief anyway. I mean, of course, there may be some point in the future where those particular individuals who are embedded within the hierarchy like a bunch of ticks simply will not relinquish the control they have, and we may be forced to resort to violence to remove them. But A violent revolution from the ground up right now, I believe, would be playing into their hands because we simply do not have the numbers to be able to pull such a thing off. And what I'm saying here, folks, is that I believe that once we do have the numbers that are required to bring about some real change in that manner, in the manner of revolution, then we won't need to have the revolution simply because we have the numbers. But I believe that it could be done before that point. I believe it could be done through non-violent means with actually very few people, if you have the right people addressing the right issues in the right way and doing it in a public enough forum so that people can hear the message. Because really, when you stand up against the system in the right way, folks, all you need to do is to speak common sense, because the system is utterly corrupt. And if you just point that out to people in a very common sense, matter-of-fact type of way, then it's really quite an inarguable point. That's why I believe I've had so much success with this radio show, because very often all I'm really speaking on the radio show is common sense. I'm not trying to over-intellectualize anything. I'm not trying to add any frills to it. I'm not attempting to speak in a politically correct manner or gloss over any points. I just call a spade and lay the cards on the table and let them fall where they will. And that's why I believe the show has had such a positive impact with those people who've listened to it. I do get some negative feedback, folks, but mostly it seems to be from people who are simply trying to rock the apple cart, or, as I said, often bait you until you respond so they can say, look, he's not the philosophical genius he claims to be. When really I don't claim to be anything at all, folks, except myself. And that really is the extent of the negative feedback that I get. It's usually people just trying to bait you or discredit you because perhaps they're paid to do so, or perhaps they simply have their own agenda. I don't know. But really, folks, I believe that if you just say these things to people in a common sense way, then what you come up with are points that are virtually inarguable. And if we can do this in a public enough manner, then I believe we will find solution without the need for violent revolution. But I think it's break time here now, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now. It's a pleasure having your company on the air with me today, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So over the last 6 years on this radio show, we have really covered a lot of topics. I've tried to look at the control mechanism from every possible perspective that I could. Well, every perspective that I perceive to possibly have some validity anyway. I haven't actually looked at the religious side of things. I haven't looked at the God versus the devil side of the scenario that people offer, because personally I think it's ludicrous. And also because there are probably already another 100 million people out there looking at things from that perspective, and so the information's already out there and I don't really need to cover it on this radio show. So that's why I haven't bothered to talk about that sort of stuff on the air. And folks, we can go back and we can look at things such as the Unum Sanctum Trust that was put in place by Pope Bonifaci. We can go and look at all of the founding of the Abrahamic religions, the advent of monotheism, the loss of shamanism, the rise of the corporate system, and all the things on the planet that have brought us to where we are. And we can continue to debate over who's in control and what's in control, who to point the finger at. But really, like I said recently on a show, what the most important thing is right now. What we are doing right now, the situation we are in right now, and how to rectify this situation. But I have tried to look at it from all possible angles and hopefully look at it from a perspective of empowerment. Because it's good for people to have knowledge of these things. And it isn't that anything is good or bad, folks. Whatever the knowledge is, it's just information. What's good or bad is how you process it. What's good or bad is the energetic state you attach to the information. And what I've attempted to do when I've presented information to people on this show is to present it from an empowering perspective, because I believe all information essentially is light. That's what enlightenment is. It's knowledge. It's having knowledge, true knowledge, and being able to look at the shadow side, look at the dark side, as well as looking at the light side. It's not necessarily true that where attention goes, energy flows. It depends on what sort of attention you give that which you're looking for, what your intention is, in even looking into this information? Are you doing it just to scare yourself and be part of the spy novel? Or are you really seriously looking for a way to know yourself, looking for a way to understand what is happening on the planet and searching for viable solutions to the current human dilemma? See, that's the difference, folks. It's what your intention is in what you do when you look at information. But as I said, there is really no such thing as negative or bad information. It's all just information. And information is interesting, certainly. But like I said, all we can do when we're looking at the past, debates on history, debates on how the pyramids were built, debates on ancient religions, debates on gnosis, debates on everything. All we've really got to go on is what's written in books by other people. And again, history is written by the winners, and most of the texts that we really need were destroyed. There's been a system in place that's worked to suppress information for a long time, so really all we've got is the inner knowing that exists within ourselves, our intuition, our own personal gnosis, if you will, and a connection to the life force of the planet, a connection to the life force of the universe, and a connection to the now. To be able to see what is happening on the planet right now and how we can change the direction the human race is going. And even, folks, when I've brought the stuff to you that I've brought to you on the show, often a lot of the negative stuff that I've brought you and a lot of the weird stuff that I've brought you, like perhaps the Gnostic vision that you heard a couple of weeks ago, everything that I've brought you, I've tried to bring you in a way that empowers the individual and helps you see that all is not lost. Just in case you happen to be looking in these directions, I've tried to bring you information that other people are bringing on the internet, but too often they're bringing you information and it's steeped in fear. Whereas I don't see any of it as anything to fear. I see it as something to be concerned about, most certainly, but not something to be feared. And the difference is that fear very often brings retreat and causes one to cower and hide away from that which they fear. Whereas concern brings about a motivation for positive action. And I'm very concerned about the direction the planet is going. I'm very concerned about the current human dilemma. But I'm not in fear of that which is coming. I am in a state of concern for that which is coming, because that fear would cause me to retreat and to hide. Whereas my concern motivates me to act. And that's the difference, folks. That's the difference in how you process the information. Because from one perspective, the information can be seen as very dark and very fearful, and from the other perspective, it can be seen as very positive and very enlightening and very motivating. And that's the difference. It's just how you process the data. But the thing is, and what I'm attempting to say here, is that we tend to always be focused on the past and how we got here and who we can point the finger at, rather than paying attention to what is happening right now and what we do to free ourselves from this condition. And I think it's important that we pay attention to this, because things are certainly escalating, folks. Like I mentioned earlier, Greece and Turkey. We see Brazil now has also come online. There are massive protests in Brazil. And shocking things the police are doing to the people in Brazil. They are spraying pepper spray in the faces of young women. They are shooting into the crowd at eye height with rubber bullets and blinding people as well. Very, very shocking actions that these sociopathic police officers are inflicting upon the people of their country. And bear in mind, folks, that what's happening in Turkey and what's happening in Brazil, these are legitimate uprisings of the people against tyrannical regimes. And yet, all we are hearing about in the news is the alleged uprising in Syria, which is in fact a contrived Western-sponsored uprising. They simply moved the terrorists that they'd implanted in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi and the fake uprising there into Syria. And now they are doing the same thing in Syria as what they did in Libya. And that's all we're hearing about. We're hearing about the great Syrian uprising and the poor rebels who are being oppressed by their tyrannical government, which is completely false information. And yet we're hearing virtually nothing about what's going on in Turkey, about what's going on in Brazil, about what's going on in Greece, about what's going on in anywhere where there is a legitimate grievance of the people and they are expressing that and there is a legitimate uprising. We're not hearing anything about it. All we are hearing is about Syria, because that is the strategic point that they want us to all focus on. Syria is, of course, part of the plan. It's been part of the plan for quite a long time. But the real uprisings are, as I said, happening in places such as Turkey and Brazil. And the actions of the police in these places and the lengths that these people will go to defend corporate corruption under the guise of defending legislation is absolutely astounding. And as I've often said, folks, it's a shame, but the police are truly one of the biggest threats that we face as a society, because these people are so programmed that they actually believe that they have to do what they're doing because it's just following orders and they have no choice, when really they do have a moral choice in everything that they do. And it really is a very unfortunate situation that we see with this, and truly one of the biggest problems that we face in attempting any type of major protest or any type of uprising. And I firmly believe that the real method that we need to take is a method of like public meetings. Imagine if instead of having a march in the street, you had a public rally, a big gathering in a park where you informed people of the fact that their relationship with government is actually a trust agreement, and that all of these people are in breach of trust, and that all of the people in the crowd have no peers. They are all there in the capacity of sui generis. Each one is completely unique, and that we have the ability to implement positive change by simply standing in our power and holding the government in breach of trust. Even the police officers have to see the validity of this approach. And you'll find that if these sorts of steps are implemented in a public enough way, soon the rest of the public will pick up on the fact that this is true and this is how we can address the situation. It's by re-establishing our true relationship with government, which is in fact one of trust. These people are public trustees, that's all they are. I mean, I don't know, folks, it may sound very simplistic to some people out there, and you may be thinking, no, this will never work. But imagine if the whole country knew this and the whole country thought like this. Imagine the wave it could create. It really could. I think that it would work, because with public awareness, then all you're doing is stating the obvious, and the police who believe that they have to enforce the law, they will have no choice but to comply, because what you're doing is stating the obvious and you have the weight of numbers behind you. And I think that if we do this and we approach things from this manner, eventually the police will see the sense of what we're saying and they will stand with the people. And I don't know, folks, I mean, I say this because I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters. I am. I see people out there in these countries, and they're getting very, very hurt by these brutal methods that the police are using against them. And it hurts me to see the suffering and hardship that is being inflicted upon these people. And I believe that if the world really wakes up to what's going on here and how much we're being scammed and what our relationship with all of our governments is, then we will find the silver bullet we've been looking for. Because the silver bullet is self-realization. The silver bullet is knowing your own power and knowing what your relationship with these people is. And when we have a large enough number of people in the world who understand this and who realize this and see the sense of it and have discovered themselves to the extent where they know this to be true, then we will see some positive change. And I believe that once we can do this, then we'll realize that not a shot needs to be fired, not a fist needs to be raised. We can simply bring about positive change via the mechanism of mutual respect. And like I said, it may sound simplistic to some, but if you can really step back and grasp the concept of what I'm saying here, and grasp the concept of the trust agreement, which is the basis of your relationship with government, then I'm sure you'll see the sense of what I'm saying. And I don't know, I guess I get quite passionate when I'm discussing these issues, folks, because I am passionate about it, because I really do believe in it. I really do believe in the power of the human spirit, and I really do believe that now is the time for mankind to stand up and to step into their power. And I believe that once we do that and we begin nurturing the human creative spirit again, then we will find that anything is possible. And what we could achieve as a species would surpass our wildest dreams and our most vivid expectations. I mean, seriously, folks, the Earth is our heritage, and look what is happening to it. Look what's happening to our societies. How does having to pay to be alive serve anybody? How does this economic model serve the human spirit? How can we have companies like Monsanto destroying the environment through genetic manipulation? We can have gas companies destroying the water table with coal seam gas mining and hydraulic fracturing. How can we have all this happening and have these people and these corporations get away with what they're doing simply because some public trustees wrote some words down on a piece of paper? And now everyone says, oh, I don't have any choice in the matter because there are these words on this piece of paper. How does that work? How is it the actions of a sane mind? How can a police officer who stands there and says he has no choice but to allow the water table in his country to be destroyed and his children's future to be destroyed because someone wrote some words on a piece of paper? How can any person who thinks that way or chooses to operate within those parameters be classed as being sane in any way, shape, or form? Because to do so is not the act of a sane mind. And to have a whole police force that acts in this manner, I mean, what can I say, folks? It's a state of collective insanity. How can it be classed as anything else? I mean, you're seriously going to stand there and tell me that you're prepared to use violence to suppress people and allow the world to be destroyed in order to support an economic model simply because someone wrote some words on a piece of paper? This, my friends, is insanity. And unfortunately, it's also this way for most of society. It's a state of collective insanity. Different socially acceptable levels of insanity. That's what our society is based on. Because none of these actions are the actions of sane and rational minds. And folks, when you have all life on this planet threatened by the actions of this economic system, and you have people saying they have no choice but to support this economic system because someone wrote some words on a piece of paper, then you have an extremely programmed mind. Because to do so is not the act of a sane mind, folks. Nothing about this system is sane. Nothing about this legal system is sane. And that's why people need to understand what it is. It's simply rules written in books by public trustees, all of whom are in breach of trust. I know I've been banging this drum for a lot of years now, but really that's the way it is. And until people can see this, they're never going to find remedy. As still, I see so many people attempting to operate within the parameters of the system and shoot down anything that suggests they step outside the system. But they just don't realize the system's fiction. All they want to do is create another fiction. They want to create another parliament in Australia. What for? It's a fiction. I mean, I suppose it might be a good idea as some sort of transitional mechanism, but ultimately it would be nice to get to a stage where we don't need a parliament at all. Of course, they say they want to create another parliament because they're scared that otherwise we may get attacked by some country from overseas. But what about if the people overseas wake up to the fact that their public trustees are in breach of trust as well? Because, I don't know, I've travelled and I've never met anybody in any country who wanted war. The wars always come from the actions of public trustees, all of whom are in breach of trust. And I think we're seeing an end to this. I think we're seeing an end to the rule of these public trustees. The rule that they inflicted upon us, the rule that they were never supposed to have. Because that's why we're seeing these uprisings in places like Greece and Brazil and Turkey. Possibly soon in America. We've seen them in Ireland. We've seen demonstrations all around the world. And I think we're just going to see more and more of them because people are realizing that all of their public trustees are in breach of trust. And once these tyrannical regimes are disposed of and some sort of legitimate respect for each other rises in its place, I don't think we'll see too many wars, folks, because wars are all based on supporting the economic model. Once we eliminate this economic model and put something a little bit more rational, a little bit more sane, a little bit more beneficial for mankind in place, then we're not going to see all these wars. We're not going to see all of this competition that brings about these wars. Because most of them are about economics and resources and all this other rubbish that we don't need. The only reason we need all the resources that we pull out of the earth is to support the economic model. So it all comes back to this economic model. It always does, folks. That's what we have to address. And that's what I think is happening around the world as we speak. Well, not quite around the world. As I said, some countries are slower to wake up than others. And unfortunately, even those countries that are waking up and coming online, I believe, are going about things in the wrong way. I really don't believe violence is the key. I think that the way to get through it is to bring it all back to trust. I really do believe that this will be seen as the most effective remedy. Because, I mean, look, we've tried things in the past. We've tried prosecuting these people within the legal system. Even with Nixon, when Nixon was dismissed, he wasn't really dismissed. He resigned because there was no way to really get him. There's never any way to get any of these people and to bring them to accountability from within the parameters of the legal system, because the legal system isn't designed to provide a remedy for the people. It's designed to provide safeguards to the system. That's what it's all about. That's why we need to step above it and bring it all back to trust. We've got to understand what's going on here. There's nobody on the planet who's any better than anybody else. There's nobody who has a right to rule anybody else. There's nobody, certainly, who has the right to rule other people and proclaim themselves as a king or a queen simply because of their genetics. There is nobody's DNA that's better than anybody else's DNA. Monarchies who claim a divine right to rule via their bloodline are truly the most absurd and misguided people on the planet. Because, as I said, nobody's DNA is of any more worth than anybody else's. We are all created with equal standing on this planet, and nobody is answerable to anybody else except their creator, whatever they perceive their creator to be. But ultimately, folks, what we're most answerable to is our own conscience. Unfortunately, we live in societies where conscience is something that is being mostly bred out of people. Well, they're trying to do that anyway. And as can be clearly seen, the parameters of this system are very much designed to nurture whatever sociopathic spark anybody may have within them and to bring that to prominence within everybody and to create what is essentially a sociopathic system. Because this is what they want, folks. They want people in positions of power who are sociopaths, who don't have empathy, because when you have empathy, you aren't very good at controlling people. You tend to empathize with them and sympathize with them, and it's very difficult to repress people if you view people as yourself and view people as equals to yourself, and you're able to put yourself in other people's positions. And that's why they try to breed this out of people as much as they can. Very interestingly, I've got a friend who's got some kids at primary school, and what they're teaching the kids at primary school is how to manipulate people and influence people through the use of language. How to use words to make people feel bad if they don't do what you want them to do, and how to manipulate people into certain positions that they may not necessarily want to be in. And this is very disturbing, folks. So this is what they're teaching grade school children in Australia. What syntaxes to use to get the desired result from people, how to manipulate others. And this is quite scary, folks. So they're actually teaching grade school kids neuro-linguistic programming, essentially how to be good salespeople and get people to do what you want them to do. You see, there's so much programming that goes on within our society at so many levels, and the children are where most of it is aimed. If you've got a television and your children watch a lot of television, you need to pay attention to what they're watching. You need to pay attention to how they're being programmed, because there's subliminals in all of it. And because your children need other children around and you've got to have them participate in the system to a certain degree, it's important to educate them to the programming that does exist around them, to prevent them from being subject to it the way their friends are. and very often they'll see it in their friends as well. And they'll begin to notice how certain programming takes place. They'll begin to question some of the things their teachers teach them. If we can teach our children to hold moral standards above everything else and to hold respect, mutual respect, respect for creation, which is also respect for others and respect for yourself equally. If we can instill these moral traditions into people, we still have a chance. Because the generations come and go very quickly, and it's always the children that are subject to the most rigorous programming. So that by the time they reach adolescence and adulthood, they are already very, very locked into the matrix and locked within the machine. So that's where a lot of our attention needs to go, on our children. But of course, we are kept so distracted from all of that, aren't we? We are kept on the treadmill of society. We're kept locked into the social and economic systems that control our lives. And very often, families don't really have the time to be able to pay attention to each other. They're always too busy. If they're not too busy, then they're too distracted. Very often we busy ourselves with distractions that we don't need, and we're simply distracting ourselves from life. We're distracting ourselves from ourselves. We're looking for happiness in everything that is external to ourselves, and we're not paying attention to the inner workings and the inner mechanism and the true reason that we're here. We're not paying attention to the beauty that we are. Each person is a beautiful expression. And we tend to miss that because we're caught up in all of the stuff that's put there for us. I don't know, folks, I do see a way through this, and I do see a huge awakening happening on the planet. And with these shows, I just hope that I do bring some empowerment to people. And do I always get it right? Well, I don't know. All I can offer you is my perspective. That's really all I have to give. That's all anybody has to give. If what I say resonates with you and there's things about what I say that you believe you can use to improve your life or perhaps improve the lives of someone around you, then I would be honored if you did take that on board and you did do that and you found some gem of wisdom in there that provided some sort of remedy for you, then that's the best I can hope for. And I really do hope that that does happen with these shows. But again, folks, all I can offer you is my perspective. And it's up to all of you guys out there to do with it what you will. As I said earlier, folks, really it all does come down to perspective. And your perspective is what makes you who you are. It's what makes me who I am. And with all the researchers that you listen to, it's important to always remember that what you are listening to is their perspective. And it's also important that you remember to pay attention to your own. Because we very often forget that and we tend to take someone else's perspective on and make their reality our reality. So remember to not be too quick to take yourself for granted. But we've reached the end of the show here, I believe, folks. We're completely out of time. It's been a pleasure coming and talking to you again this week. Thank you very much to anybody who has ever helped with the website. Thank you to those who helped me continue to do what I do and to get this information out to people. Please do pay attention to what's going on around you. Please do pay attention to your local community. Please do pay attention to yourself. And remember that change can come about very easily if you simply change your perspective of how you deal with information and if you lead by example in all that you do. That really is the key to our salvation, folks. The remedy lies with us. You are each and every one of you a silver bullet. You just have to realize your own potential. But that is it for me this week, folks. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.